If you've been told to pull your socks up recently, then make sure it's a pair of RCR socks. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
Welcome back, everybody. You are here with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on the Up Your Brave show on Reality Check Radio. Next up, I'm talking to Nigel Dixon, CEO and founder of Primal Kiwi, all about the connection between superfoods, peak performance, health, and recovery. Welcome to the show, Nigel.
Thank you very much, Natalie. It's a privilege to be here and do this with you. Yeah, cheers. Oh,
I'm so excited to dive into this topic. You and I had the pleasure of meeting last week when I was down in Christchurch, and now we get to learn all about the wisdom you're here to share. For those of you that don't know Nigel, Nigel Dixon is the founder of Primal Kiwi, a New Zealand company that has launched with a lineup of New Zealand-sourced animal-based nutritional supplements. The launch of the business was a progression that came from more than 30 years of learnings after a near-death experience in his 20s and ongoing health challenges following that. Nigel's experience was that his long-term prognosis from medical doctors was poor, and their offerings often did more harm than good. He also found the same doctors gave no guidance about nutritional protocol and were dismissive, if not ridiculing, of any natural therapies that he may inquire about. These experiences started decades of a long journey of reading, research, trialing practitioners and supplements, and being his own guinea pig. Nigel does not describe himself as a pioneer or an intellectual in the health and wellness space, but believes he can share some of what he's learned along his journey in a simple way to help others master their own health. He believes that animals are equally as essential to the health of our species as they are to the health of the planet. Ooh, I'm excited to dive into some of those things, particularly the resistance of the medical industry around natural therapies. So we'll have a look at that. But Nigel, I would love it if you can just lay the foundation for my listeners. Your journey is really quite fascinating of long ongoing health issues. Can you give us some more insight if you're happy to share that story? How did you go from that space you were in with your health challenges to now being someone who knows a lot about superfoods and the impact on health and recovery?
Yeah, good question, Natalie. Thanks. And yeah, if you'd seen me in my 20s, you wouldn't have thought, and I wouldn't have thought I was here in this space now, working with this sort of thing. I was a chippy. I was a carpenter in my early 20s, and did that in Dunedin, did my time as an apprenticeship, and ended up living in the Gold Coast of Australia as a young bloke, living in a flat with a bunch of other young blokes, and we were having a great time and spending most of our pay on beer and going to the gym and trying to be sort of strong and fit and healthy and cool, but in amongst being silly, and it was a lot of laughs and it was a really good time. And we burnt the candle pretty hard at both ends and in the middle as well. And one day I just got the flu, and over the space of a few days, I went downhill till I stood up one morning and fell over, and I was paralyzed down one side and away to hospital. And yeah, that was sort of the beginning. That was the beginning of the journey. I was probably at my fittest and strongest, but I wasn't healthy.
Did that just come out of nowhere? Like, did you, because that's an interesting response from the body, right? Like paralysis. Do you think you just suddenly hit burnout, or was there some sort of incident or accident that preceded that?
I went to the doctor first and gave me some, not looking too well. Gave me some antibiotics, as they do. And a couple of days later, I'm getting worse, and went back again and walked into the surgery. And the doctor said, don't get too close to me. He said, I want what you've got. And so he said, I was obviously viral, and gave me some pills that he said were antiviral. And okay, so left with those. And then, a couple of days later, I fell over and got picked up by the flatmates and bundled in the car and down to the hospital. And it was turned out, it was at the time, they said it was viral encephalitis, which is a virus gets into your brain. And I couldn't, It was intensive care, and I couldn't move my right side at all, and I couldn't really coordinate my left side. I could only just move that, and yeah, the parents were over from New Zealand, and they didn't know if I'd be still alive when they got there, and yeah, it was touch and go.
That's massive. And then what happened next? Like, how did you turn things around? I think it was a slow journey, right? A long journey.
Yeah, well, that ended up about 4 weeks in the hospital at that point. And then I got an IV drip put in my leg, and that clotted the main vein in my leg from ankle to hip. So I ended up back in hospital again for another couple of weeks. And I come out at the end of the sort of 6 weeks, and I'd lost a good 10 kgs or more of muscle mass, and was pretty skinny and not really healthy, and still a bit unco, and yeah, it wasn't ideal. And you sort of start thinking then, you know, why did that happen? And no, the doctors couldn't say why. They said, oh, it might have been a mozzie bite or whatever it was, but they couldn't say what had done it. And now I can look back now and go, it was just the wrong diet, the wrong nutrition, exercising really hard, drinking alcohol, the combination of all those factors, and there's not too many nutrients left in the body, you know. So,
It's interesting, isn't it, the exercise thing? Because yeah, a lot of people, even if you look like you're doing some good exercise, you're hitting the gym or whatever it might be, but if you're not feeding the body what it needs, it's going to be depleted.
Yeah, and look, you see that with plenty of ultra athletes, and they go from one flu to the next, and you know, the chest infections and this, that, and the other, and they're just asking extremes of the body, and you know, they might not be, but they may think they're nutritionalizing well, and some of them are really good at it, and others are operating under a lot of sort of false guidance, if you like. Nutritionists that have been trained in the medical establishment, and that advice, you know, that was written a lot of years ago, and it hasn't changed much.
Yeah, the food pyramid fallacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I love bringing guests on my show, as my listeners know, to educate and inspire people around holistic health and well-being is one of my favorite topics amongst many. And that's why I'd love for you to share, you know, because we will have people listening that maybe are or were high-level performance athletes. And then you'll have people like me who, you know, I'm in my 50s. I just want to be healthy, healthier than I've been before, because why not? I'm planning on aging backwards. So talk to us about, first of all, we're going to talk about superfoods, and then we're going to talk about peak performance health and recovery. So what do you mean by superfoods? What are those and how do we get them?
Yes. So part of that journey from 23 years old, when you're trying to work out what went wrong and how to fix it, there was no internet back then, you know, so information was kind of hard to come by. And but I do remember reading a book at about 27 that really laid out the and I can't even remember the name of the guy who wrote it, but it really laid out the opened my eyes around the food industry, the drug industry, and the theme of the book all the way through was follow the money, follow the money, follow the money.
Yeah.
Well, that was 30 years ago. I read that, and you start and you see everything differently. And you just, and there's, you know, foods, and then there's superfoods, and there's so much stuff out there. There's always a new superfood. There's one every month comes out. The fads on the internet, yeah. It can be very difficult to work your way through what's useful and what really qualifies and what doesn't.
And is it different for different people? Like, if something that's a superfood for you might not be for me?
A little bit. Yeah, there's a little bit of that, but there's some that are, we launched our Primal Kiwi product range with products that have very, very broad efficacy. So they're useful for almost everyone. It might be the odd one that has an allergy or something, but there's certainly, when you get into plant foods, there is a lot. You know, some can be beneficial for some people and not for others, because while some plant foods can have a lot of highly beneficial elements, they also have toxins that come with those. So typically, plant supplements contain a lot of seed matter and a lot of, and the seeds are the plant's babies.
Mm-hmm.
And the plants don't really want their babies to be eaten. So there's a lot of nutrients in those seeds. You think of nuts and grains, and there's a lot of nutrients there, but they're also tied to a lot of toxins. And then some individuals have a problem with a particular toxin, and others will tolerate them really well.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be very difficult to work out where you fit with each different plant and each different nutrient and all the anti-nutrients that they're tied up with. It can be difficult to work out what's working for you and what's not. And then you get a lot of supplements that are made up with multiple so-called superfoods. Some of them you see, they'll have three or four or half a dozen or a dozen different ingredients, all which are meant to be fantastic. And some of those might be all right for you, and others could cause you a real problem. And if they're all combined together, you can't tell what's causing the problem. That's the challenge.
So what is the solution, like, to have something that really has minimal products in it?
That's a good start. I must have spent a small fortune on supplements over the years. And where I landed after 25 years was on animal-based nutrition. And the reason behind it is animal products, there's a very little conversion to be done. We're made of meat. And if you eat animal-based products, there's very little conversion to be done to turn those products into the tissue that we're made of. When we look at cows, and our supplements are made of from ruminant animals. So when you look at a cow, it's got a huge digestive system, much bigger than ours.
When you say ruminant, I don't actually know what that means. Does that mean grazing?
Yeah, so they have a rumen. They have like three stomachs. So right. You look at cows, they've got multiple chamber stomachs, and their whole digestive system is very big. So they have a lot of microbes. Because it's such a big gut, they have a lot of microbes to break down plants, and they turn plant matter into essential fatty acids and proteins. So they take fiber, and the bugs inside their gut turn that fiber into essential fatty acids and proteins, and they then absorb the essential fatty acids. And then the bugs die and they absorb the bugs, and that's where they get their protein. So even the cows aren't actually living on the grass. The bugs are eating on the grass, living on the grass, and the cows are living on those essential fatty acids and proteins. So we don't have big guts like them. So we don't have the same ability to break down that fiber and to get those nutrients out, and to deal, the bugs deal with all the toxins and the anti-nutrients. We don't have that ability. So when we eat the meat, the cows got rid of the toxins. We eat the meat, and it doesn't have toxic substances for us. It's naturally very low in toxins. The animal's defense mechanism is its hooves or claws or teeth or its ability to run away. So that's the animal's defense mechanism. But they don't want to be eaten either. But once they're on the ground, they don't have other defense mechanisms. Plants are stuck in the ground. Their defense mechanism is toxins.
Mm.
They don't want to be eaten either. So, yeah, so they have toxins and anti-nutrients there to discourage most things from eating them. You look out in your backyard, or looking out the backyard there, there's not much out there to eat. There's a lot of plants. There's not much we can eat. And even the ones that when you go to the supermarket that we do eat, a lot of those have been hybridized and weren't around a couple hundred years ago, 100 years ago.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because when someone says superfood to me, I automatically go, oh, kale, blueberries. Like those are kind of, I don't know why. That's what comes to mind. But I think it's great because you're expanding our awareness of what is a superfood and why. And I knew about the cow and the chambers and the digestive system, but I didn't know it was so much the protein from the bugs. That's very fascinating. Okay. So with that being said, I imagine you would, do you think that like organic meat is ideal? Because sometimes, you know, if we're getting meat, there's different processing systems, particularly in America, but here in New Zealand, I tend to buy grass-fed. Is that a fallacy or is that like better than the regular meat?
Definitely. Look, we'd all love to eat organic all the time, and it can be pretty difficult to get your hands on all the time and expensive, but definitely grass-fed, grass-finished. Grains make us fat. Mm. Grains make animals fat. You know, so when the meat industry want to fatten up a cow, they finish it on grains. And it does the same thing to them as it does for us. The best fat is, and fat is, animal fat is highly nutritious. And red meat, ruminant animal fat is extremely nutrient-dense energy for us. But it's a whole lot better when it's come from grass-fed than it is when it's come from grains. Yeah. It's interesting that you mention kale, because you're right. That's one that went through a promo as a bit of a superfood, and how much iron it's got, and this, that, and the other. It's incredibly high in plant toxins. It's very, very high in oxalates. I don't know if you've heard of oxalates, but
yes.
A lot of people have a real problem with those. And yeah. I for part of my journey was I was the green smoothie guy for a long time, and every morning without fail, and there was certainly kale or spinach in those smoothies for years, and it didn't end up working well, and I don't have a green smoothie anymore. That's all I can tell you.
How does it present if someone, because you just said, you know, if someone was to eat a lot of kale, you know, it doesn't work well for them. What does that look like? I mean, is in terms of symptoms or presentation in their skin or their breathing or whatever, are there some things that my listeners can look for in their own bodies or maybe their family members as well to maybe alert them to the fact that maybe your diet isn't working for you as well? Because most of us know, oh, McDonald's not great for you, you know, try to cook home-cooked meals. But for a lot of people, they think they're doing a great thing when they raid the veggie garden and focus on that. But it's not always the case, it sounds like. So what can we look for in our health to know that maybe it's time to make another change?
Yeah, good question. There's a lady by the name of Sally Fallon who wrote a book just all about oxalates. And she was a trained nutritionist and practicing and guiding people on nutrition. And her health was getting worse and worse. She was in a wheelchair. And I can't remember whether there was a diagnosis or what it was. And she didn't know why it was, but she was getting worse and worse, but still practicing as a nutritionist. And she learned about oxalates and eliminated them. She's now on an animal-based diet and is out of the wheelchair. And she's authored books around this. You can Google Sally Fallon. But something like oxalates or plant toxins are amazing in that they'll bring on a lot of inflammation, and they will bring that inflammation on wherever you have a weakness. And that could be a weakness from an injury, or a weakness from a past illness, or a weakness from just genetics. We all have every single one of us has a weakest genetic link. So if we put our bodies under immense stress, there will be something that gives up first. And you can look back through your family history and you go, oh, dad died of cancer and his dad died of cancer and this, that, and the other, or mum's got heart disease or whatever it may be. And that's why you see daughters and sons getting what their mother or father got.
I agree with you there, but I got to chime in. And I think partly that is also mindset driven. Like if someone's like, oh, my mom had breast cancer, so I'll probably get it. Well, yeah, you probably will, because you're just telling yourself. I just wanted to throw that in there.
No, look, I agree wholeheartedly. People, you can talk yourself into things. I think the saying I heard recently was genetics loaded the gun and the environment pulls the trigger. So you might have a weak genetic link, but it may never get you. It may never activate. But one stress that you can put on yourself that can cause the activation of weakness is something like oxalates.
Mm.
Others might choose to be an alcoholic or whatever it may be. You know, we can all put ourselves under stress in different ways. It might just be sleep deprivation, working too hard, not enough exercise, or the combination of all those things. But plant toxins are a real thing. There's lots of them, and they can cause really insidious problems, highly unlikely to be diagnosed by a doctor. And yeah, it could be everything from headaches or migraines to kidney disease to skin conditions to asthma or eczema or you name it. Lots of gut issues. They can cause a lot of gut issues, and gut issues can lead to lots more as well. Yeah,
as well as the link between the gut and the mental health issues. Do you feel like the medical system since back in the day when you were in your 20s, I don't know how long ago that was, but do you think the medical system has made some progress in terms of linking, you know, being able to determine the cause of things and not just hand out scripts? I think I know the answer, but I'd love to hear yours.
Look, no, I don't really. I think they'll be very, very slow to change. I think there's lots of well-meaning people probably into the industry, but it comes back to follow the money. And I think, you know, probably your audience to be open-minded enough to know that a lot of people don't speak out too much if it's going to rock the boat or cause them a problem. But my experience with hunting around doctors, I couldn't get any nutritional advice, and I steer away from them as much as I can now. They're really handy to know if you have an accident and you're in a trauma. They can do amazing things. But as far as nutritional advice and setting you on the right path for your own wellness, it's probably a good idea to look elsewhere, I think.
Well, I mean, I hope that maybe in 5 years or so, this conversation will have changed. Like, they will have adapted or integrated more of this knowledge that so many of my listeners know a lot of these things we're talking about. Speaking of lessons, I did have a look at your website the other day, and you've got on one of your pages, it's primalkiwi.nz, and you've got, it's actually on our story page. It gives us a little bit of your backstory, but you've got these lessons, and here's one I'd love you to elaborate on. Here's the lesson: being fit and strong doesn't necessarily mean one is healthy. Tell me more.
Yeah, and that does go back to that incident when I was training, that first illness when I was 23 years old. I was at my fittest and strongest, and within a few days I was almost dead, and then went on for another probably go on another 7 or 8 years, and I wasn't treating myself so well, and I landed in hospital again with blood clots, and at that time by then they'd mapped the genome, and they could tell me why it was happening, which just came down to genetics, of course. So then they tell you that's it, and you're going to have that problem for the rest of your life.
So many people get that advice, that guidance, and then they believe it, and then they do.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I was sort of looking around at everyone else, and, you know, they're not getting them. Why am I getting them? But I saw plenty of doctors over the years, and you ask them about anything, any other alternative remedy. They want to put you on drugs. Ask them about anything else. Well, I think they can't do anything else. They've got a protocol to follow. They went to medical school. They got training. And the book says, if this person has this problem, you prescribe that. And if you don't prescribe it, you're in the gun. You could be struck off. You could lose. And you have, by then, the doctor spent 10 or 15 or more years training, and he's got plenty of debt, and he's got kids in private school, and he's got lots of money coming in, and pretty hard for them to walk away from that income. So they're busy, they're overloaded. You go to a doctor's appointment, what are they, 10 minutes now, are they? Haven't been to one for a lot of years, but I think you get about 10 minutes.
Yeah, maybe.
And they're just busy. They're playing the numbers game, and they're prescribing drugs. And then from there on in, next time round, probably 15 years ago, I was really fit. And I thought I was looking after myself. I could go pretty good on the rowing machine in the gym. Back, blood clots again. And you go, well, it's not about fitness. It's like whatever. There's something else behind this because I'm training pretty hard, and I'm, yeah. And people think that, you see someone get a stroke or whatever it may be, and you think, oh, it should exercise more. And then I sort of started to learn about blood chemistry and the acid alkaline balance of your blood. And that's a whole another subject. But basically, we set it, our blood is meant to be at a pH of 7.36. The exact number's not exactly, it doesn't matter here, but whatever we put, there's lots of things that create acid. Acid blood is sticky. Acid blood carries less oxygen. Acid blood carries less electrical charge. And if you get very acidic, you can't move too far off that or you will die. So our bodies will do whatever they have to do to keep us at a pH of 7.36. And typically, if you're taking in a lot of the wrong foods, a lot of high carbohydrate, high sugar, sugar's terrible, processed seed oils, too high in omega-6, and all the trans fats that go with those, it all adds up to acid blood, and our body has to hunt around to find ways to alkalize. And what it does then is it robs minerals using calciums. My understanding, calcium is the most alkalizing mineral. So that's why you see children having all their teeth pulled out. So the old dentists back in the day, my mother was a dental nurse. She thought that sugar was bad for your teeth because it was actually the sugar on your teeth, and you had to clean them quickly to get the sugar off. And that's not the case. The sugar turns your blood to acid, and then your body robs calcium from your bones. And the easiest places to take from is your teeth. Your teeth are like sacrificial anodes. And that's why you see kids getting their teeth pulled out when they're young, because they're fed up on fizzy drink. And body's got to alkalize, and this robs that calcium. That's why you see old people getting osteoporosis and breaking hips. And once again, the body's stolen the calcium out of the bones to alkalize the blood.
That's such a good point about the fizzy drinks, because we think, oh, sugar, you know, it's sugar, which is true. It's not healthy for their teeth, but it's the fizzy drinks has the combination of the sugar and the acidity. And that's part of the big problem.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was you start to learn about. So then, if we can make it easier for our body to stay alkaline, we're in a lot safer space. And the story goes, supposedly bacteria and viruses like an acidic environment, and cancer also.
So, that's right. And yeah, that's right. It's acidity. That's what, you know, I mean, I could do a whole show talking about, I have quite strong views on cancer personally. But yeah, it very often is acidity in the body, which is partly caused by what you consume. But I think it's also magnified by your mindset, you know? So if people have a lot of toxic thoughts, like negative, either berating themselves or judging others, or keeping secrets, I talk a lot about, you know, secret keeping is very toxic for your body. And I feel like all of these things contribute to our physical health. I would love to go to the next lesson I can find. I'm only going to do two, but here's another one I found on your website. And I agree. I always say, you know, you are the CEO of your own health and wellness. I think we learned that specifically over the last 4-year journey with the COVID thing. Or the COVID scam, in my opinion. But this lesson here says, no one cares about your health as much as you do. Do you find people are caring more about their health than they used to, taking ownership?
Yeah, I do. I like to think so, and maybe it's because I'm of the industry I'm in. So you get targeted with lots of health messages, and of course, and then your social media goes that well, and that way, and you've got all the beautiful people, haven't you? And their togs and their undies, flexing their muscles and their abs, but our health system and the pressure it's under wouldn't say so, and there's still plenty of people. We've got an obesity rate that's through the roof, and I think a lot of people don't look until it's too late.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people. And I like to, you probably see on my website explain a few things and automotive terms, because people picture it, and I look and you go, if you see a red warning engine light pop up on the dashboard of your car, you don't just keep driving. You either pull over or you get to the nearest service station, but you get it looked at fairly smartly, because something's going to go wrong if you don't. And we see a lot of people wandering around now with a fair old motor on the front of them. Blokes my age might be down at the pub or whatever. That motor on the front is a red warning light, and it's a protective mechanism from what we're doing to our body. So the body's looking around going, where am I going to, there's a whole lot of stuff I don't want here, where am I going to put it?
Mm.
And that is the warning light. And a lot of, we wouldn't drive our car around with one on the dashboard, but we walk, there's plenty of people walking around with a motor hanging off the front and ignoring the warning light. So,
do you think a lot of people just think, oh, this is my dad bod and I'm, I'm in my late 40s and this is just the way it is? Or are they in denial? I mean, I know one person, I think it's a money thing. I think they just don't want to go and spend money. So they're kind of in denial, but then you end up spending more money if you just leave it.
I think there's the other bit of it is that there's lots of people have tried different diets and fad diets and eating plans, and there is so much misinformation out there. People lose confidence, they become despondent, and they, I tried this, I tried that, it didn't work, and they give up. They get tired of it. It becomes a test of willpower and discipline that they can't maintain over a long time, and it becomes all too hard, and they give up. That's the repercussions of a food pyramid. I think we mentioned it before, Natalie. There's dietary guidelines. There's doctors prescribing drugs that have no place. There's misinformation out of medical professionals and all through the internet. Any subject, like any subject on the internet, you Google anything you want to know, you'll find opposing views on everything. So to sort your way through the myriad of that information and find the truth can be difficult. And a lot of people just don't have they're busy doing it with the rest of their lives. They're busy with the kids and they're busy with everything else. They don't have time to look. And I think that's.
Can you walk us through an average day for you? Like one of your days from, I'm curious about your habits as well as your mindset and products. I mean, obviously you probably consume your own products. So talk me through like an average day with Nige. Like, what is he doing in terms of consumption and exercise and mindset?
Yeah, so I tend to exercise out of bed, first thing out of bed in the morning. I'm exercising.
Are you a 5 a.m. person?
No. But look, I have in the past when I had to be at a job at a certain time. Now I end up starting my working day later and finishing it later. I exercise in the morning because I don't love it. I do it. I exercise to live. I don't live to exercise. And it's really easy for something that, as the day goes on, it's really easy for something else to come up and it doesn't get done.
Yeah.
I exercise fasted. So I wake up in the morning out of bed. I don't have anything to eat. I do my exercise then. My diet now has been 95% animal products. And yes, I do. I take our full product line because that was what I wanted before I started the business. They're the products I'd found that from different sources that I felt had the best efficacy. So that's how we started our product line. And I typically won't eat till lunchtime. So sort of 2 meals a day now is where it's landed. Occasionally 1 meal a day.
So very intermittent fasting.
Yeah, so I think you maybe just, there's a lot of talk about intermittent fasting and all the rest, and the people that do a bit of it would say anything less than 24 hours isn't a fast.
Wow.
It's just a compressed eating window. So there's a lot of evidence to suggest that if you can keep your eating window to 8 hours or less per 24 hours, it gives your body time to regenerate and rebuild and detoxify. And I've found it's just sort of how it works. It's pretty easy to roll out of bed in the morning, do some exercise. These days, I'm still not hungry. Sometimes it'll be 2 o'clock in the afternoon before I eat. So it took a while to get there, but that's the nature of a more fat-fueled ketogenic type diet rather than a blood sugar fueled
yes
and carbohydrate diet.
True. Two things that I just saw on your website that I wanted to ask about. One is bee pollen, and the other one is beef organs. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So bee pollen, so as we talked about before, plants don't want to be eaten. Like all of us don't want to be eaten. They put toxins with their nutrients to discourage most things from eating them. Pollen's the bit that plants put out that they do want to be eaten. So they specifically put it out to be attractive to insects and particularly bees to go around and collect it. So they get pollinated and the bees get a feed. And some would say that they want their fruit to be eaten as well, and that's why it's sweet. But certainly pollen is put there to be, they want it eaten. That's the bit that they don't put toxins with. It's just nutrients. There's 250 plus nutrients in their organic form, and it's considered a complete food. So I haven't tried to live on just pollen, but you probably could for a time.
Is it a powder or is it something that you swallow?
They're granules. So we've got capsules for those that don't like the taste. Most of what we sell is granules. I chew them up. Sometimes I put them in kefir or yogurt or something. Many times I just put a couple of teaspoons in my mouth and chew it up. It's quite sweet. But I have the odd person say, oh, man, that's too strong a flavor for me. They buy the capsules.
Yeah.
But it's the plant kingdom's greatest offering. And and the beef organs, well, if you watch animals in nature, when they take down their prey, that's what they aim for. They aim for the organs. So I'm a big proponent of animal products and meat, but the organs have multiple times nearly every nutrient over the muscle meat. So muscle meat's great for protein, and you know, you could live all your life on muscle meat and fat, but the organs have just an abundance of nutrients over anything else.
And not everyone wants to actually eat the organs. They'd rather have the granules.
Yeah, that's right. They've got an amazing nutrient profile. They've got no toxicity, but they don't taste that great. You know, like our palates aren't used to it. If you've grown up for a few decades wandering around the planet eating sugar and cereal and fruit and like all the sweet stuff, our palates are not accustomed to organs. Some people like them, most people don't. So we've got them freeze-dried and desiccated in a capsule. It's as close as you can get to fresh. Oh, so yeah, arguably you'd be better off with fresh raw organs, but they taste worse when you cook them. But ours are raw and freeze-dried, and you can get that nutrition without having to suffer the flavor. And you could take them down with your ribeye steak.
Awesome. Okay. I segued you away from your average day, but I wanted to ask that. I imagine you take some of those things in your day. So back to your average day, you do the exercise. Sometimes you don't eat until 2 o'clock. What else?
Yeah. So it's that it's lunch or brunch and dinner. And as I say, many days, 100% animal products, apart from the bee pollen. And it's pretty simple. You save a lot of time. You also save money. I go to the supermarket. I walk through the fruit and veggie section. I just walk through. But
literally not pick up like lettuce or an avocado?
No, I don't usually. My wife came home with avocados yesterday and a tomato, and I did make a guacamole last night and had some of that.
Because avocado is great for you, right? Good fat?
I think avocados are probably the best fruit on the planet. But they still have plant toxins in them, and when they're there, I don't miss them that much. They came home last night, so I had one and it was good. We had a guacamole with a lot of venison mince, and the venison mince was cooked in a lot of beef tallow. But avocados are great, probably the best of the fruits, I reckon. But it's just pretty easy to, it's pretty easy to walk through that fruit and veg section, and it takes a bit to get your head around at the start.
You walk past all the breads, all the pastries.
Yeah. You know, I haven't purchased bread for the house for years. Yeah, it's probably the worst of it. Just the high carbohydrate, high plant toxins. It's not the thing. One of the people I follow said, if you eat buns and rolls, you will have buns and rolls.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave show. Today, I'm talking to Nigel Dixon from Primal Kiwi. We're talking about the connection between superfoods, peak performance, health, and recovery. And we're just walking through the grocery store with him at the moment. What else would you pick up? Like, you know, because you're right. If you're really sticking to that, you're not picking up the sauces and the spreads and all the things and the breads and the buns. What else would you put in your basket?
So I'll go straight to the meat section, and most of it will be red meat. I might do some fish or salmon or something, or chicken. I'll generally buy 2 or 3 days worth of meat at a go. I'll go to the fridge and get a bottle of cream, because I have that with my coffee, which I haven't given up yet because I enjoy it. But it's a plant, you know. Like, I don't think coffee's good for me. It's just
that mushroom-based coffee? I've got some of that. It's just not the same, but it's okay.
My wife puts it in her coffee. And I'll get a couple of 2 or 3 dozen eggs, and I might get some and a block of cheese and some kefir or yogurt. Butter.
Real butter, not fake butter, margarine, everybody.
Only real butter, yeah. And that'll be about it. Yeah, I might have sour cream. If I was going to do some chicken nibbles, you can get your Bostocks. We'll give them a plug. Organic chicken nibbles, pretty good, dipped in a bit of barbecue and dipped in a bit of sour cream. Yeah, I tend to go to the butcher more.
Yeah.
Look after small businesses, tend to get better meat. They generally all sell eggs. Yeah, it's just meat and dairy, basically. So, and you just don't get hungry the same. You think, oh, yeah, that must be expensive eating that way, but you eat a lesser quantity once you've sort of adapted that way.
Mm. And it's, like you said, actually quicker in terms of, well, everything, shopping, cooking, probably the cleanup, maybe.
Yeah, it's easy. There's no chopping up veggies. It's you throw a steak on the barbecue and it's done in 6 or 8 minutes and you're eating and it's one plate and knife and fork.
What about onions? Can we have those with our meat?
You can have anything you want.
I thought onions are really good for you.
Yeah, well, look, so did I, and I honey ferment them. Actually, I get raw Manuka honey, and I chop them up, and I put them in a jar with a bit of raw Manuka honey, and stick them on top of the hot water cupboard, and ferment them. And they're pretty good that way. So you haven't cooked them; they're still raw. I believe the fermentation sort of helps with any anti nutrients. But I'm not hard and fast. Here at home, it's easy at home when you're making your own food to live that way. But I went to a do on Sunday and it was a pizza thing. I had some pizza, you know. I'm not going to be dogmatic about it because we still got to have some fun.
Exactly. Let's talk a little bit about recovery because I think that's an important. So we've talked about health and making some great choices around what we're consuming. Let's talk about recovery because I guess when people are training, you know, I can't stop talking about it. I started doing hot yoga recently, but I used to be a multi-sport athlete for a small time in my life. I was an adventure racer. I did the Southern Traverse and, you know, so I would go out on 5-hour mountain bike rides and things like that, long, long tramps.
Fantastic.
How can this type of food or maybe some Primal Kiwi products, if you want to mention if there's something specific, how can they help people, whether they are an athlete as such or whether they just, you know, want to be fit and healthy? How can some of these things help our body to recover?
Yeah, great question. There's a Professor Tim Noakes. You might have heard of Tim Noakes. He's the Noakes Foundation. He's a guy that he's author of about 750 books, I think. He wrote the books on carbohydrate fueling for athletes, and he was the proponent of it, and he was the guru, one of the world's leaders in setting up fueling for athletes. And amazing guy. You can find him online and you can listen to podcasts with him. And he came out after years and said, "I got it all wrong." He was the world leader.
I love when people can admit they're wrong. It's a beautiful thing.
Highly, very smart, very credentialed professor. He said, "I got it wrong." He's now a proponent of ketogenic and animal fat fueling. And it goes part of that is it goes back to that acid alkaline balance. So if you're fueling on all carbohydrates break down to blood sugar, which requires an insulin response, and it produces acid in your blood. So if you can fuel with healthy fats, it's a different burning mechanism. There's no insulin involved, and it is nowhere near as acidifying. So you find someone that's been a carbohydrate fueled athlete, and they convert and it takes some time for your body to upregulate those fat-burning genes, but you have nowhere near the muscle soreness. You have nowhere near the lactic acid burn. I find, I climbed a hill the other day to hunt a deer, and if I'd done that 15 years ago, my legs would have hurt a whole lot more going up the hill, and they would have been a whole lot sorer the next day. And we went and got a deer and carried all the meat down, and I was out running the next day, and I couldn't have done that 15, 20 years ago. It's a completely different. So the recovery time, because you got less lactic acid and less muscle burn and less muscle soreness, the recovery time is far less. I heard an ex-pro athlete, And it is a job to make that transition from carbohydrate fueling to fat fueling. But I heard an ex-athlete, Mark Sisson, actually, he's at the start of the Primal Health Coach Institute, and he said a podium athlete will generally notice a drop in performance in the early stages of that conversion. And he said it could take up to 2 years to get back on the podium.
Wow.
However, the increase in years and the health benefits far outweigh that loss in performance for a time.
So like the longevity of their career, for example.
Yes. Yeah, because you see a lot of runners talk about it. They fuel up on those gels, and because they're used to carbohydrate fueling anyway, so they're just adding a bit more sugar, but it's just very hard on the body. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I used to be a sprinter. I know all about lactic acid. That's for sure. Actually, speaking of carbs, I am 1 week into my no bread journey. I used to be, I've always been a big bread eater, like literally 2 meals a day at least. I'd have like a bagel or toast or something like that. So
it's a hard, it's a hard thing to give up. It's a hard habit to give up. So it's really good when you have. I've found the easiest thing is not to have it in the house. And then if you simply don't have it in the house, you can't have it at home. That's a good start.
And well, then I've got a few ideas from our conversation today about what I can have. So that's good. I do love my eggs. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, they're fantastic. Fantastic food.
I'd love to change gears just slightly and ask you, before we dive into the wrap-up questions, over the past 4 years, everyone knows it's been intense in so many different ways. For you, what has either been the biggest challenge or the biggest learning that you've experienced?
You're dead right, it has, and probably the biggest challenge is that split in society was difficult probably for a lot to come across. It was a real, that whole vaccinated, not vaccinated thing, and all the relationships that got messed up with that and still continue to do. I know we all still see people driving around in their cars by themselves with masks on that was interesting. Personally, my own is just launching a brand new business and trying to get a business off the ground and get some awareness of your brand at a time when there's a whole lot of financial challenges for people out of there. So discretionary income, as we know, is at an all time low. It's just a tough market to launch into. So yeah, there's plenty of businesses out there doing it worse than us, I reckon. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a really challenging time with businesses. I didn't realize you launched during that time, but I do think, you know, maybe I'm an optimist, but I do think people are starting to really prioritize their own health and well-being, and I mean proactively. You know, like, for example, they go, oh, you know, I will start taking some beef organs or the bee pollen or whatever, being proactive instead of just reactive, you know, wait till something happens and then try to fix it. So.
I think it's been an amazing time of awakening for a lot of people. A lot of people, it woke their eyes, it made, opened their eyes and went, wow, it started conversations that they wouldn't have bothered having before this.
More people are connected. Like when you and I caught up, you know, you and I had messaged before because you were going to be on my radio show a while back, but I do believe in divine timing. And then, you know, I was in Christchurch, we got a few like-minded souls together. And I think, you know, you said you only knew a handful of people in the room, but then you walked away and there's so many amazing connections.
Yeah. It was good. It was really good. And it's created communities, hasn't it, of like-minded people. Out of every cloud, there's a silver lining, isn't there? There's something good comes out of everything. So.
Exactly. All right. Well, if you were to up your brave in the remaining months of 2024, we're in September now, so not many left, but what would you do or maybe not do?
I need to be put myself out there a little bit, do more interviews like this, Natalie, more talking to people, more getting in front of people and having these conversations is probably my biggest challenge. Yeah.
Well, I'm happy that we got you on the show finally. What is coming up? I don't know. So you're based in Christchurch. What is coming up? How can people connect with you if they want to look at your website or order something? I guess you ship all across New Zealand.
We do. We ship all across New Zealand and just about to start Australia. We're on Facebook and Instagram. Facebook's Primal Kiwi NZ. Instagram's Primal Kiwi, and they can just do the contact me through the website. If anyone's got any questions, happy to have those and answer them as best I can. Get all sorts of inquiries coming through, and it's neat to answer some of those questions, and you get some really, really good questions. I've had people that have taken an amazing interest and proactive interest in their health, people with all sorts of health conditions, and I learn stuff from them because they've got a specific condition that they've looked at a whole lot harder than I've ever had time to. And it's a constant time of learning. So yeah, it's good. Love to hear from anyone.
Amazing. So it's primalkiwi.nz. That's the website. Yeah.
Yep.
And so for everyone listening, you can probably just search up those handles, or else we will put the links, as we always do, on the replay page. So it'll be at realitycheck.radio. You can go to replays and look up the Up Your Brave show, or you can always just send us a message. We would love to know some of your reflections, maybe some of your empowered actions you're keen to take as a result of my conversation today with Nigel. Let us know if you're happy to share. Or if you just need his contact details, you can send us a message 2057 on the text or email inbox at realitycheck.radio. Amazing. So before we wrap things up, Nigel, is there anything else you want to share with our listeners today?
No, look, it's been really good, Natalie. I appreciate the opportunity to get on and talk to you, and I appreciate the channel and your show, the rest of them. You guys are doing an awesome job at RCR. It's nice to be involved at whatever level I can.
Well, thank you for sharing some insight with us about this topic today. I know it's a massive passion for you. And that's right. If we can help just from this one interview, if we can help 10 people, 100 people, even 1,000 people to shift their health and well-being, then I'm really, really excited. I feel like we've made a difference. So thank you for joining me today, Nigel.
Excellent. Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.